In 2016, the National Park System celebrated its 100th birthday when poet Carla K. Morton learned that there had never been a complete book of poetry written to celebrate all 62 national parks. She decided to do just that, along with her friend and fellow Texas poet laureate, Ellen Birkelbach. Wyoming Public Radio's Micah Schweitzer spoke with Birkelbach and Morton about how their new book, The National Parks, A Century of Grace, came to be.
So I decided, okay, I'm going to go to all the national parks. I'm going to write poems, take photos. And I called up my friend Alan, and we've been friends for many years. And he's a nature-inspired poet as well. And I said, hey, this is what I'm going to do. Do you want to do it with me? And 30 seconds later, he said, yes. So
so it was a no-brainer for you, Alan?
Oh, yeah. It was a very easy decision. You know, and I was smart enough to realize that, golly, had to make a lot of logistical answer a lot of logistical questions immediately. It's like, where are we going to get the money? Where are we going to get the time? How are we going to make it happen? Where are we, how are we going to fly there? It's like, okay, we're just going to make it happen. So it was an easy yes.
So what were the logistical concerns? I mean, this is, you know, these are a lot of parks on a very massive continent. And actually, some
very
of them not
massive.
Even on the some of them are not even on the continent.
That's right. I had started when I had the idea and planned it out and trying to get funding and grants, but were unable to get any. And I decided it was too important of an idea to just, you know, do it ourselves. So we did it. We did it on our own.
But there were other logistics. At first, you know, we thought we were just dealing with time and geography. And then after about half a dozen, we realized, no, what we're facing first is weather. Weather ended up being the biggest logistics.
So how long did it take you to visit all 62 parks?
Well, it took us about 3.5 years. And, you know, they added a couple of more national parks in there. So the very last one to be added was White Sands National Park. That's 62 of 62. And they did that December of 2019. And we were like, oh, it's close enough that we can go ahead and get it in the book. So we just jumped in the car and we went down there and we got through there and enjoyed the park. I think it was 2 days before the world shut down for COVID.
And you began at the beginning with the world's first national park, which happens to be predominantly here in Wyoming, Yellowstone National Park.
Absolutely. That one we knew. We wanted to begin with Yellowstone because it was the first park named.
So I want to turn now to the actual artistic form that the two of you work in, which is poetry. You know, there is no shortage of coffee table books with photographs of the national parks because we think of them certainly as visual experiences in large part. Why poetry? And what does poetry have to say about these landscapes that maybe another art form doesn't?
Poetry, we feel, allows people to put into words or allows people to read in words something that they would not be able to necessarily express themselves. And we experienced this ourselves in a few of the parks. We would get to a particular park and we would be totally overwhelmed. All we could do was just stand there and look at the scenery. And we're thinking, if we're doing this, there's got to be scores, if not hundreds of people with the same type of reaction. All they can do is just sit there and look at it, but they have no way to express their wonder and their awe and their sheer thankfulness and that type of scenery.
Poetry is the basic need of humanity to be able to express what it is that we feel. So when you're standing there in these national parks, seeing the beauty that's in front of you, you take from that beauty what it is that you need as a human being, whether it's comfort or glory or finding your way in the world. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted people to say, wow, look at the two different views from the same spot from two different people. What will I experience when I'm standing there?
So two poets, one subject. What's the relationship then between not just you and Alan, but between your work, between your words?
we generally would write poems separately and complete them, and then we'll show them to each other. And sometimes we're on the same track, but more often than not, we're not. And it was kind of fun that way, though, because we would constantly be on feeding off each other's energy, saying, "But did you see this? Yes, but did you see that? And wasn't this amazing?"
Were you writing at the parks?
Sometimes.
We did it all. Sometimes we wrote at the parks. Sometimes it takes a while. What I tried to do is finish a poem before the next park we visited.
Before the whole adventure started, I went to Walmart and I bought like 150 composition books. And and before each park, we would pick out a color and say, "I'm going to get yellow, you get pink this type of thing." And so we had one composition book each per park. And as we went through the day, we would take notes.
I'm guessing you probably have some poems that you have a special fondness for. Does that affect which parks you have special fondness for?
Oh, that's a great question.
Man, that's a good one.
I think that each place triggered something so incredible and so unique. That is what surprised me most, is that when I first began this, I thought, oh, how many ways can I say beautiful, right? Because it was for 62 times we were in places that brought us to our knees. How will I be able to express the individual glory of each one? And yet it was easy to do. There was something there that spoke to me from each park. And nature is the great teacher. There are so many things you don't realize that you don't know until you get out there and you sit and you let nature teach you. It is an incredible feeling of not just being changed by what we have seen, but also, for example, with me, it was my confidence. I suddenly felt courageous. I felt like there was nothing I couldn't do. If I could get to all of these parks, there's nothing I can't do.
Wisdom, I believe, comes from experience, from stretching our boundaries, from finding out what our limits are. And it was an unexpected, wonderful byproduct from visiting all 62 parks that we found out that we can do things we didn't think were even possible. And how do we try to transmit that idea to other people, saying, if we can do it, you can do it?
It's the great legacy of storytelling. We have experienced this. Look what we experienced. Let us bring it back to the hearth and tell you our tales, and then make you want to go out and create your own stories as well.
Yeah.
That's Alan Birkelbach and Carla Morton, authors of the new book, National Parks, A Century of Grace. A portion of the book's proceeds go to national parks, and you can hear the poets read some of their poems on our website at wyomingpublicmedia.org.